Is it still morning? No, it's afternoon nearly. Okay. Morning, everyone. Morning. So, I'm Adnan. I don't think I've met many of you before. I met some of you before. As we're talking about testimonies, it's only right that I share my own testimony with you guys. So, as you can see, my name is Adnan. I was born in a country called Libya, which is in North Africa. My family's from Pakistan. Two Islamic nations, but I was born and raised in a Christian home. Mom and dad, Christians, grandparents, Christians, maybe someone else down the line. I don't know what they were. Maybe they were Sikhs or Muslims, but that doesn't matter to me right now. But, you know, mom and dad, devout Christians. But me, I was grew up in church, used to go to church until I was around 16 years old. That's when I got brave. Like Andrew was saying, I was forced to go to church as well. But there's this braveness that, you know, this boldness that came upon me. I said to mom and dad, I'm not going to church anymore. And mom believed in the power of the rod as well. So she was old school. So I did receive love in many ways from mom. So, but I don't know, there was this rebellion that started to rise up inside of me. I stopped going to church. I found that hanging out with my friends was far more exciting. Church was boring for me, honestly. You just go on a Sunday. It felt very religious to me. It was just boring, did Sunday school and all that kind of stuff. But you see, with my friends, they used to meet in the playgrounds and they had stories to tell each other. They were allowed to do certain things. I wasn't allowed to go out. I wasn't allowed to do things. That's why I started to rebel. I wanted to fit into the crowd. So for good 16 till around 27 years old, university, college, I lived in the world, for the world, all in. Now, when you get to know me, you'll realize that I have a personality, which is I'm an all-in kind of guy. So I'm quite, you know, people might call me an extremist, but that's fine. So I was all in for doing the works of the devil, let's just say. But at the age of around 27, my sister, who was older sister, who was pregnant at that time with her husband, we prayed for that miracle baby to come. However, she had complications. Now, in those complications, she nearly lost the baby on many occasions. The fourth time it happened, they were ready to induce the baby 3 months early. And when I Googled premature babies, it just broke me. It just shocked me. And I was like, for some reason, I just had this inner faith to know that everything would be okay, even though I wasn't having this relationship with Jesus. Thankfully, the doctors decided they wouldn't operate and the bleeding had stopped and he was born perfectly fine 3 months later. He's 11 years old now. So that got me into church, but now I'm living two different lifestyles. Sunday, yeah, praising God, but Monday to Saturday, still doing the things that were satisfying my flesh, my needs. And in those moments, I actually had a dream. And in that dream, I saw people going up and people going down. When it got to my turn, I was panicking. I was shaking. I didn't know. It felt so real. I didn't go up. I didn't go down. And I woke up sweating. And I realized in that moment, coming from a Christian background, that with Jesus is eternal life, without is eternal hell. And you would think that would shake me up, it would change me, it would lead me to repentance. It didn't, but it was a seed though. It was a seed in my life. Some people have instant transformations like Paul, you know, Saul. Mine took a little bit longer than that. So I started to continue to live my life until around, but this time there was a difference though. There was every time I went to church, there was this internal battle that was taking place. Suddenly, the light of God was exposing the darkness in my life, and I couldn't take it anymore. I remember this preacher, he says, when you have an encounter with Jesus, you don't lose the ability to sin, but you lose the enjoyment. Okay, so I started to, things I was doing before, it felt icky. It felt dirty, it didn't feel right, and I felt fearful, and I was getting irritated by my colleagues, by my family members, I was just getting angry. And I remember I had enough. I was like, in 2013, instead of going out partying with my friends on New Year's Eve, I actually went to church. And I went to church and I literally fell on my knees. I said, Jesus, I can't take living this double life. I choose to follow you. Now, I did not know what that looked like. I just prayed that prayer. And in that moment, I had this image of a vision. And in that image, I saw Jesus hanging on a cross and me living a life of sin. And in that moment, I felt as though that every sin I was committing, it was me personally putting the lashes on his back. That it was me personally putting the nails in his hands and his feet. And that's when Jesus became real to me. That's when the cross became real to me. That's when I realized that Jesus hung on that cross for me. And that's when the gospel became real to me. And when the cross and when Jesus becomes real to you, everything changes within us, as Andrew was saying. And again, you would say it was an instant transformation, but it was a start. It wasn't instant. There were certain things I was doing. I had to make certain decisions in my life. I had to stop hanging around certain people. I had to stop going to certain places because I knew if I continued to go there, I'd be easily tempted and I'll give in to sin. But over the years, what I've learned is that the more time you spend with Jesus, the more you fall in love with him. And the more you're in love with Jesus, the easier it will be to share the love of God with other people. Now, evangelism can be a scary word for people. Ooh, evangelism, I don't know how to do that. But in truth, we all evangelize. What are you passionate about in life? It could be, I don't know, football. It could be music. It could be books that you're reading. It could be, my dad loves gardening. He's passionate about gardening. You know, it could be cooking. It could be anything. Now, when you get around people, you probably talk about that, what you're passionate about, easily. I was a very passionate Manchester United fan. Very passionate. I blame myself for their demise because I stopped praying for them. Generally, I say that to my friends. I say, look, I'm sorry, man. I stopped praying for them in 2012. And since then, they've hardly won anything. I apologize. They go, please pray for them again. I said, no, I can't. Because I don't have that attachment anymore. Now, back in those days, I could speak to anyone about Manchester United. So much so, I used to get into arguments. I nearly got into fights because I was that passionate. Why was I so passionate about Manchester United? Because I learned everything about that team. I grew up watching the players. I went to football matches. It's because I spent time with people who are Manchester United fans. In the same way, when you spend time with Jesus, when you hang around with people who are passionate about him, that will rub off on you. What we need to do as Christians is not just do evangelism just once a week or once a month, is to have it as a lifestyle. You see, the more you're in love with anyone, I mean, when you get a new job, we publicize it to everyone. Oh, my son or daughter got a new job. They just had a baby. It just instantly comes out. In the same way, we said the good news is the gospel. Gospel is the good news. And the most powerful thing that we have in our disposal is our testimony. You know, I learned that through a revelation from God. I mean, me and my friend, we used to go out and we used to get into, let's say, a heated exchange with some Muslims. We used to, and I used to not like it one bit. My flesh would rise up and I was like, how dare you speak about my Jesus like that? And I remember I went home, I said, God, like, how do we interact with, at that time it was just Muslims that we were speaking to, right? And he said, ask them their testimony. I said, all right, fair enough. Next week we went out and we changed the whole game. You know, we would say, hey, bro, like, we're Christians. We would love to hear your personal testimony of how, you know, Allah has changed your life and what Islam means to you. Now, for them, they would instantly go back to the religion, the rules, the regulations, how they've been brought up. I said, forget all about that. Personal story of how God became real to you. And the more you go into it, the more you find out there is no personal testimony. And that's when we would share our personal testimony and you'd find that they would have no words to say against you. There's no arguments. But if you go into scriptures, they can go into arguments all the time. Our personal testimony is so powerful. In the Bible, in John chapter 4, the woman at the well, she has an encounter with Jesus. runs into the town and says, come and hear about the man who told me everything about me. She was the first evangelist. She went, and all she did was share her testimony. And what did people do? The people started to respond to that testimony. And the Bible says that because of her testimony, they invited Jesus into their homes and they spent time with Jesus. And the Bible says that the people said to her after, it's not because of you anymore. It's because we've had our own encounter with him that we believe. So our testimony should propel people to have their own personal encounters with Jesus. Now for me, I love hanging out with non-Christians. Genuinely love it. I work in a company called Dell Technologies, and God has just given me so much favor there. I get to speak to people in Egypt, people in India, and man, whatever issues they have, if they're anxious, whatever, I say, listen, let's pray. Over the phone, I get to pray with them. Over Teams, I get to pray. I've seen healings on Teams. Literally, be healed in the name of Jesus. They go, oh my gosh, that prayer worked. I was like, yeah. WhatsApp healings we've seen. Don't be limited. We can limit, you know, God's power. I've seen emails, healing over emails. I've seen healings in supermarkets. You know, you were mentioning that you don't have any non-Christian friends, but we all go shopping, you know. We all interact with non-Christians. It's just seeing, when you start to think from an eternal perspective, everything changes around us. Everything. You see that person is like, oh my gosh, I may never see this person again. I got to share. That's the way I think. Sometimes it, you know, it becomes a bit of too much of a burden. It's like, I need to share. It used to be, but now it just comes out naturally. You know, I was in the gym a couple of years ago and I met this guy and he told me to help him with the weight lift. So I helped him, but I noticed he had back pain. I said, bro, like, I believe Jesus heals. Can I pray for you? And he was like, yeah, sure. So I put my hand on him, asked permission. I mean, once you start going out into the streets, we'll give you tips and stuff. But I said, can I put my hand on your back? He said, yeah, prayed for him. Nothing significant happened. There was no like thunders or, you know, audible voices or anything like that or fire coming down. And we just went our separate ways. 2-3 weeks later, I saw him again. He goes, he found me. He says, bro. I said, yeah. He said, man, like, when you prayed for me 3 weeks ago, that was amazing. I was like, yeah? He goes, yeah, I went home. I told my wife that this crazy person put my hands on me and started to pray in the name of Jesus. He goes, I can't believe you did that. And we struck up a friendship. Over the course of 12 months, we started to hang out. We started to train together. I started to share Jesus with him. Naturally, not in a weird way. He would talk about certain things. And when you fall in love with Christ, I'm telling you, everything that you say, respond, comes from the word of God. So he had issues with certain things. I said, let's pray. I'll pray about it. He would see that in me as a lifestyle. And one day he says to me, bro, like, let's go on a holiday. I said, what kind of holiday? You know, let's go on a boys' holiday. I said, okay, I don't do those kind of holidays. I do holy days now. You get it? Anyway, that's a good one. So there's this event coming up in the summer of 2019. It was called Awakening Europe in Austria. So I showed him a video and I said, bro, do you want to go to Austria? There's this Christian event. He said, yeah, that'd be amazing. In his head, he would come along and just hang out in the pub or whatever and just come to one service. We went first night, 10,000 people. He goes, I did not know there was this many Christians. I said, there is. Anyway, so it was amazing that the gospel was being preached. The music, the worship was amazing. Second night, there was a preacher called Daniel Kalender preaching, and he gave the altar call. And he said, whoever wants to receive Christ, put your hands up. My friend put his hand up. And Daniel Kalender invited people to the altar. He said, bro, I don't want to go. I said, I'll go with you. We need to be friends that will take people to the altar. We need to be those kind of friends that took the crippled man that built a hole in the roof and they took him to Jesus. We need to be those friends. So I took him to the altar, and now he's planted in a church. Him and his whole family are now serving the Lord. This all happened in the gym. Andrew said earlier, one sentence can change someone's life. I'll share one more testimony and I'll pass it over to the other guys. We were out on the streets and I said to this girl, hey, Jesus loves you. Simple as that. And she came back and she said, are you preaching? I said, if you want me to, but no, I just wanted to tell you that Jesus loves you. Anyway, we sat down with her. Me and my sister was there as well. And she opened up about her life. Those three words made her break. She opened up about her life, how she'd been in relationships that were abusive, how she had an abortion literally just months before, how she was her mother had disowned her, and how her mother used to say to her, "I wish I had aborted you." It was a really dysfunctional family. And I said, okay, I didn't know what to do with all of that. We just prayed with her, and we said, look, where do you live? And she was from South London. I don't know what she was doing in Northwest London, but God knew. So we got her connected to a church and some friends I know in Croydon. We got her connected, and that was it. I didn't hear anything else, and it was all that. Then I went to a conference in Sweden. I saw my friend from Croydon, and who was with her? That same very girl. She had become a Christian. All from simply saying, Jesus loves you. Do not underestimate the power of those words. We were talking about earlier how we're living in a world which is facing an identity crisis. Everyone's confused about the gender, what they're doing. But the thing that is going to rip open their heart, it's love. It's the love of Christ. I was in Austria and they had the Pride event going on. And we were sharing the love with the people. And I realized something that day when I spoke to a few people, that they weren't really homosexuals. They just wanted to fit in with people. They wanted a belonging. And that's what it is. And people are looking to belong to a certain group. When I was younger, I wanted to belong in a certain group with my friends just to fit in. We as Christians have a responsibility to go and be the light of the world. So I just wanted to encourage you with some testimonies. There's many more, but I don't want to continue. It'll be here all day. But I want to bring up my dear friend, Austin, actually. He's over from the States. And amazing man of God. I've seen transformation in his life in the last 5 years. I got to know him around 5 years ago. And I've seen how, I call him the man of many gifts. Like, literally, he can do anything. I say to him, is there anything that you cannot do? He doesn't believe in the impossible. Everything is possible for this guy. He's a musician. He's an artist. He's an athlete, he's everything. But in the midst of it all, through his creativity and love for these things, he's bringing people to Christ. So Austin, do you want to come and share a few things?
May the peace of Christ be with you all. What an honor to be here. My name is Austin. I'm from Florida, America. And I want to share with you an experience I had just yesterday, and it was a lesson on God's perfect timing. A lot of times in our lives, we have this idea of how we want things to go, right? We have our plans, the best laid plans of man, right? But God, his ways are higher, right? His thoughts are higher. So yesterday, I just arrived back in the UK from France. I've been out here for a couple weeks, seen some friends, making some connections, and Adin was kind enough to call me a taxi from the airport, pick me up. I was planning on handling it myself, and he was insistent that he blesses me with, hey, brother, you're coming to my country, let me get you a taxi to get you to my house. And the man picked me up, very kind man. We started talking in the cab. His name was Sajjad. And we just started talking, and he was from Iran originally. He was raised Muslim. He moved here. He became a refugee through a series of actually wild events he was telling me about a little bit. He had quite an incredible story. He came to the UK, and he had lost his faith in Islam, and he decided to become a Christian years ago. And he was in the church for a while, and saw some of the injustices and some of the dark side of the church, some of the man side, right? Not the Christ side. He saw a lot of the corruption in the church, and it pushed him from Christianity. And when we were talking, I said, so bro, what do you believe? And he's like, oh, I don't believe in anything. I believe in consciousness. I was like, okay, like tell me more. What do you think about like the afterlife? What do you think of, oh, I don't believe anything. I think it's done. I was like, oh, that's kind of sad. And he's like, yeah, you know, I just don't believe in anything. Then I began to share with him my experience. So I think it's important when we're talking to people, when we're loving people, hear where they are, as many of us were talking about. Meet them where they're at. Ask them questions. Inquire into their beliefs and why they believe those things. Because a lot of times, they have those beliefs from hurt. And they don't have good answers for them. They have emotional answers. Right? And the truth is the truth. It's a firm foundation. And that's such a powerful thing. That's what we have, is the truth. Praise God. So I started to discuss with him. I said, you know, I hear where you're coming from. And I want to apologize on behalf of Christians that you had this experience in the church. But I want to tell you that wasn't Christ. That was man. And he's like, yeah, I know, but it was really bad. So I said, so as a Christian, I want to apologize to you for that experience. And I want to tell you that Christians are supposed to represent Christ. And a lot of times we don't. Some of the worst people I've ever met have been Christians, right? I'm sure many of us can agree. Christians by name. So me and Adnan have been talking and discussing how important the fruits are. We have to judge people by their fruits, not their words, but by their fruits, by their actions and how they live. And that's so important for us as well. We need to consider, what are our fruits? What fruits are we displaying to this world? Because many people are Christians with terrible fruits that are even worse than people who claim the world or claim nothing. So we continue to discuss, and I just shared with him my experience. I was raised Christian, raised in a Christian home, up until the age of 21, where, same as this man, I had seen some of the injustices in the church, some of the corruption in the church. And it really pushed me away. And I said, you know what, this isn't for me. There has to be more. Right? There has to be more. Especially Western Christianity. In America, I feel like it's probably similar here. A lot of Christianity is just in word alone. It's powerless. It's missing the Holy Spirit. It's missing courage. And that's really what pushed me away. But I've always been a seeker of the truth. I've always wanted to know the truth, because truth stands, and it can stand the test. So I was like, you know what? This Christianity, it's not for me. There has to be more. And I started exploring from the age of 21 to about 23, 24. And I was reading all kinds of books, looking into some Buddhist teachings, some Hindu teachings, some New Age things, and just searching, because I didn't have the truth yet. And in this couple-year journey, I'm sharing this with the taxi driver as well, in this couple-year journey of seeking and seeking, the Bible says, seek and you will find, right? So I believe that God blesses those who seek. And I praise God for his patience and his mercy as well on keeping me alive during that time, because I was not on the side of God during those times. I was very much in darkness. And I have a list of times, dozens of times, that I should have died. I do a lot of adventurous things, a lot of wild things. I ride motorcycles. I do some cliff jumping. I do deep diving, all kinds of things. And I've had a number of experiences where I should have and probably could have and probably should have died. And I'm still here. So I'm sharing this with this gentleman. I'm saying, in that whole searching experience, it brought me all the way back around to Christianity. Because as we know, Christianity has the one missing piece that all these religions, they don't have. A lot of these religions have amazing teachings, amazing truths, but they're all missing the Christ. And that's what we have. That's the power of Christianity. And they're missing the Holy Spirit as well. So I'm sharing this with him, because that's been my experience. And Jesus is the missing piece, and Jesus is what the world needs. And he began to contemplate. He began to listen and just started to think. And this is what I'm saying about God's perfect timing. He picked me up. We're on the way. It should have been a 40-minute ride or so. Ended up being about a 2.5-hour ride. There was some wrecks on the main roads. We had to take back roads, traffic, all these things. That was perfect timing for me to be able to converse with this man and share with him. And on the way, he said, you know what? I believe that the reason I picked you up today was for this conversation that we're having right now. And by the end of the ride, he said, you know what? Thank you for waking me up. Because I'd fallen asleep, and you showed me that Jesus is the way, and I know this. He said, because whenever I have a problem, I go to my friend who's he's a father in a Catholic church, and he prays. Whenever he has a problem, he talks to his other Christian friend. His spirit knows, his spirit knew what was true, but his mind was getting in the way from the hurts that he had experienced. And that's the case for much of this world. Everybody, especially in the world, is hurting. Life is hard. Life is suffering. There's tragedies. There's injustices. There's all these things. And that is where we're able to shine and show the love of Jesus. And it's not a forcing thing. It's a personal experience thing. And that truly has the power. That's the power of testimony. Because as Adnan was saying, it needs to be a daily relationship with our God. And how many know that we serve the almighty, most powerful God? The creator of all. The God of all. We need to remind ourselves of this. He's not just a God. He is the God. With a capital G. There are other gods. They do have power. But they're limited. And he is almighty. That's the God that we serve. And it says the victory is his. It's already his. We're on the winning team. And in these days, especially these dark times, we need to be on the offensive and taking ground for the kingdom, pushing back the kingdom of darkness, stealing souls from hell and bringing them into the kingdom of light. So by the end of this ride, he said, brother, I will never forget you. Thank you so much for waking me up. And we were able to pray afterwards. I was telling him the power and the importance of the scripture. I asked him, do you ever read the scripture? He said, you know, I have a Bible. I've read it one time. I don't really read it that much. And I encouraged him that to hear from the Lord, you need to see what the Lord has already said. Think about that. A lot of times we enter seasons in our lives where we're like, oh, you know, the Lord's quiet. I'm not hearing from the Lord. Have you been in the Word of God during those times? Because he speaks through you and to you through his word that he's already said. And so I was encouraging him. A book that's changed my life in the Bible is the book of Proverbs. Have any of y'all read the Proverbs? The book of wisdom written by King Solomon, right? The wisest man to have ever lived. So I'm sharing this, that when I was in the searching stage, seeking for truth, seeking wisdom, I had the idea. I was like, you know what? The wisest man to have ever lived, he wrote a book. I'm going to read it. I need wisdom. I'm looking for truth. Let me read it. So I started reading it. And then I read it again. And then I read it again. And the incredible thing about the Proverbs, really the entire living word of God, the reason it's the living word of God is because it has endless depth to it. And each time I read the book of Proverbs, and I encourage all of y'all to go back and read it again if you haven't in a while, and to continue reading it, the book of wisdom. Whenever you read it, the next time you read it, you're not the same person. You've elevated in wisdom. The next time you read it, you've elevated in wisdom. I've read the book of Proverbs 50 or 60 times at this point. I've lost count. And each time I read it, I see something new. Because I'm not the same man. And that's the depth and the wisdom of the Word of God. You can never fully grasp it. He always says something else he wants to share with you. And that's why it's called the daily bread. The Word of God is our daily bread. And if you're not in the Word of God, your spirit is going to be starved. It's going to be skinny. It's not going to be strong. And you're not going to be a threat against the kingdom of darkness the way we need to be. Just like we've all, I'm sure, built our bodies in the gym at certain times of our lives to become the strongest and the best that we can be, we need to think eternally as well with the internal mind. How do we build up our spirits? How do we become mighty in the faith and strong in the spirit to where we can wage war? Because we are in a war. Can we agree on that? This is a dark world. We're in enemy territory. And that's why we're called to put on the armor of God. And I encourage you to do this every day. Because with all these these near-death experiences that I've had at such a young age. I'm 27. Putting on the armor of God is crucial in the blood of Jesus. And it needs to be applied as if your life depends on it, because it might. Right? The forces of darkness want to take out those who are moving forward with the kingdom. The threats. Right? So I encourage you to get in the word of God, build up your spirit, man, apply the armor of God as well. What a gift. And he says that his glory is our rear guard as well. We don't have to worry about behind us. We have to keep moving forward. And he says as well in the Proverbs, if you commit your work to him and acknowledge him, he will make your path straight. That is a power that we have because our God makes the days that we live in, right? He creates the days, and we're to be grateful and glad in it. So when we commit our work to God, he makes a way where there is no way. When we follow the righteous path, it's a path of peace. And that's something that this world does not have, is peace. And we know that peace is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. So if I can leave you with a final piece of advice here, in all my searchings at the young age of 27, the greatest piece of advice that I could give you is follow the peace. And any decision that you make, and any decision that you have, any crossroads, any decision, follow the peace, because whatever decision has the peace in it, even if it's a hard decision, not the easy one, that's the one you need to take, because that's where God is, that's where Jesus is. And if you're following God, if you're following each step, he's going to lead you right where you need to be. And going back to this ride with the cab driver, there's tens of thousands of cab drivers, even in this country alone. He could have picked up anybody from the airport coming in from France, coming in from anywhere in the world, but he picked up me. And the one that Adnan called was this gentleman. And he said, I don't believe it was coincidence that we met today. I said, absolutely not. My God is a God of perfect timing. At the end, I was able to pray for him. He came back to Christ, and he said, you know what? I haven't been to church in years. I'm going to go this Sunday. And I was able to bless him. I have a book of Proverbs I carry in my bag, in my satchel, and I read it when I have some downtime or when I'm in a car ride. And I felt the need to bless him with that. And I said, brother, because he told me he had a Bible before. He has a lot of Muslim friends. He was raised Muslim. One of his Muslim friends saw the Bible in his cab and took it. He said, I'm not giving it back. And he said he would read it when he's waiting for clients. You know, 2-3 hours he'd sit there, he'd be reading. His Muslim friend took it. He said, yeah, I can't have a Bible in my car anymore because, you know, I pick up a lot of people, could offend some people, or they might take it, all these things. So it was so incredible that I had the specific book of Proverbs, not in Bible form, in a specific one singular book. I said, they're not going to take this. I said, read this, and I want to encourage you too. When you read the Word of God, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you, because he will. He will. Why would he not? You think our God, who wants the best for his children, Holy Spirit, show me, teach me. He's like, nah, I'm busy today. It's not going to happen. He wants to bring you into the fullness of what he created you to be. And when you're diving into the daily word and the daily bread, you're building yourself, you're building your spirit. You're able to show this hurting world the love of the Father, the love of the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit. So I ask that, actually, let me just pray. Father, I ask that you would bless everybody here that came out on a Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon. I ask that you would elevate each one of their spirit, man, and guide them in every way. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. I plead over all of them that you would protect them in their daily moves, that you would guide their every thought and their every motion, that you would train their fingers for battle and their hands for war, and that you would give us increased wisdom, courage, and strength to keep moving forward and taking ground for your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Bless you all. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to finish by having a time of prayer in our groups. And we're going to pray that God will give to us opportunities to talk to people. I was traveling by train to the Northeast. I decided not to go by car. And I was sitting in second class. And who should come and sit down in my little compartment but one of Britain's leading football managers. And he came with a journalist. So they sat down. I thought, what is he doing sitting in second class? I thought, this guy should be sitting in first class. But one thing about me is that I never crawl around the famous. If there's a tramp and a celebrity, I would talk to the tramp. So I said to God, if you want me to talk to this man, you've got to arrange the discussion. I said, I'll talk to him, but you've got to do it. There's no way that I'm going to be a groupie who starts talking to him about football and creeping round him. So I had with me a briefcase full of books, because I'm a bibliophiliac. And it was a very heavy briefcase, but it was on the rack. And it was safely on the rack. So the football manager and the journalist got up to go for a drink. They went off to the bar and came back with a drink. And I thought, I'd better go and get a cup of coffee. So I said, excuse me, and pushed past the football manager, gave him a cursory nod, went and got my cup of coffee, came back, and the whole seating arrangement had changed. My briefcase had come down off the rack, banged him on the head, and knocked his drink over. So he told me this, and I started to laugh. And he said, what are you laughing about? I said, God wants me to talk to you. And I spent the rest of the journey talking to him about God. And I not only talked to him, but to the journalist as well. And the whole carriage were listening, because they weren't expecting a celebrity football manager to be in that carriage. That's the kind of thing that God does. So we are going to pray, one, that God will give us opportunity to speak to people. And that's something that you need to recognize. I don't think that my brother thought that he was obligated to speak to that man. It happened naturally. God created the opportunity. And God can create opportunities for us. But often we don't pray about it. We just take people for granted. We get so accustomed to silence that we expect silence. We don't expect that God will give us opportunities. And you can talk to anybody. But often the Lord gives you people that you can specifically talk to. So we're going to pray that God will give to us opportunities to talk to people. And we can do it in our little groups. And then I'll bring the whole session to an end and you can get back for lunch.
Stand up to finish. And Lord, here we are standing in your presence. And Lord, you are real, more real than we are. The ultimate, the supreme and glorious reality. And Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, we feel your eyes upon us today. We sense your observation, that searing intensity. And Lord, we offer ourselves quietly to you as living sacrifices. And Lord, you know, as a church, we long to grow. We long to be connected to this community. We long to share the good news. We long to see people born of your Spirit and brought into our fellowship and integrated into your church. We long to see people growing in Jesus and utilizing their gifts for his glory. Lord, we long to be a living, radical church, and we believe that this is your purpose for us. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you might give to each one of us, give to each one of us the opportunity to share Jesus naturally with somebody else. And Lord, we ask you to end the silence. End the silence. Set our tongues free to talk about you, Lord Jesus. Give to us tongues of fire. And Lord, we pray that we might be able to share you with other people. Come, Spirit of God, rest upon us. Anoint us to witness. And Lord, we pray that you might take away the fear and the timidity, the English reservation, our own natural shyness. And Lord, we pray that we might be able to share you in a peaceful, natural, and beautiful manner. That it might be the most natural thing in the world to talk about the Lord Jesus. So, Lord, come upon us now. And in the coming weeks, we pray that we might be a witnessing people. Amen. Amen. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. Okay, that's it for this week. And next week, we're talking about intercepting people.